good afternoon. Having some issues with my computer here, but on the air, I am Chad Holmes. The time is 2:06, currently fair conditions in Wausau. Get the temperature here for you in just a moment, but again, I can't wait until we get into our new downtown studios. We are going to be moving downtown at some point, but still in our studios on East Wausau Avenue, and currently under partly cloudy skies. Not been a bad day here in Wausau. Temperature stands at 46 degrees, expecting the temperature to rise just a couple of more degrees before we get some wet stuff over the next couple of days. Coming up in the next hour at 3:06, we'll be joined from weatherology.com by Ray Miller. Again, we expect some rain, maybe some storms over the next couple of days. And tomorrow, big day. Looks like the weather may not be great, but still get out there and vote. And make sure you don't forget that tomorrow night we will have complete coverage right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Civic Media's wall-to-wall election night coverage. In fact, very happy to be part of the coverage tomorrow night. I will be focusing on some judicial races outside of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. I'm going to be taking a real close look tomorrow night at the District 1 Court of Appeals, which covers Milwaukee County. And the interesting thing about it is we talk a lot about the State Supreme Court and the importance of that race, and it does have very, very important aspects to it in terms of some very big issues that could come in front of the court. But when you look at the next level, the Court of Appeals, that's before you get to the State Supreme Court. And somewhere around 90% of the cases end up finished up at the Court of Appeals level. 10% of the cases then go on to the State Supreme Court. So the Court of Appeals, very important as well. And in a rare contested race in District 1, it has an incumbent judge, William Brash. He is going up against an opponent, Sarah Geenan. And it's, again, very interesting because William Brash was put on the court back in 2015 by Scott Walker. And he really has been, I think, a little bit more difficult to pin down in terms of where he stands. But some interesting aspects of this campaign. And Sarah Geenan is a very young attorney. She's in her early 40s. She has been a Democratic operative, was a field organizer, and worked to help elect former Democratic Governor Jim Doyle. She has worked for the liberal group One Wisconsin Now, and ran unsuccessfully as a Democrat for the state assembly in 2014. She has been a labor and employment attorney for 16 years. Meantime, Bill Brash, 71 years old, so it's an older judge against a younger attorney. And Bill Brash been on the court since 2015. Governor Walker put him on the court. And Brash has some interesting folks who have endorsed him, because he's got a lot of folks from the right working on his campaign, but former Senator Herb Kohl has endorsed him. A couple of you call liberal justices have endorsed him. Again, it's just interesting that in terms of some of the folks that are supporting him on the left, and then you look at Lewis Butler, former Supreme Court judge, Joan Kessler, more of a liberal judge, Herb Kohl, of course, Democratic senator. But if you look at the Bill Brash campaign, people that are working for him, including Dan Morse, he is the finance chair. And he wrote an email in February casting the race as a pivotal contest between liberals and conservatives in Milwaukee. Bill is a conservative who will follow the laws as written and not legislate from the bench, he said. And said as well, by creating a strong grassroots campaign, we will not only re-elect Bill Brash, but we will also turn out the conservative vote, thereby keeping the Supreme Court in conservative hands. Brash has tried to distance himself from the email, saying he did not authorize the language used in that email, but he got some strong connections to conservative Republicans. His finance chair, Morse, spent 4 years as finance director for the state Republican Party and 4 years as a fundraiser for Scott Walker. His campaign manager, Lily Schrenk, served as a youth outreach and events director for Republican Senator Ron Johnson's reelection campaign. And he's also been involved in some events with folks from the Bradley Foundation, far right Bradley Foundation, and also folks from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. So again, that's one of my, we got folks around the state looking at different races, and that is one of the races I've been assigned, and I've been doing some research on it, and it's a very interesting race, and it's something I'll be talking about during our campaign coverage tomorrow night, wall-to-wall campaign coverage here on Civic Media and Bull Falls Radio. Starts at 6 o'clock with a special extended Devil's Advocates. Then from 7 till 8, the special hour of As Goes Wisconsin, and then our coverage begins when polls close at 8 o'clock as well. Wall-to-wall coverage. If you're looking for the best coverage of a very important election night, it's right here on Bull Falls Radio and on Civic Media. And one of the more interesting races is the Wausau School Board. And I've had a chance to interview three of the candidates for the Wausau School Board, five candidates going for three spots on the board. And today and tomorrow, we're going to go back and listen to those conversations. Fred Teeley will be coming up next, my interview with him. And then Jillian Bettino in the second hour, and then we'll have our interview we had recently as well with the board vice president, Lance Trollope, in the first hour tomorrow. So again, we want to get you ready for a very important Wausau School Board election. We're going to hear those conversations coming up, starting with Fred Teeley next, as we continue here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa. Home show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Again, tomorrow night, election night, wall-to-wall coverage. If you want the coverage of election night 2023, latest results from the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race and all the other races going on around the state of Wisconsin, the one place to get it, wall-to-wall. Again, we're not going to have just results down in the bottom of the screen like you'll see on TV. Other radio stations maybe get a bottom-of-the-hour update or something like that. It's going to be wall-to-wall. We will have results. We will have analysis. We will have sound from the candidates and a whole bunch more. It's going to be a great night of coverage right here on Bull Falls Radio tomorrow night, starting at 6 with the Devil's Advocates, 7 o'clock, As Goes Wisconsin, 8 o'clock, polls close, results come in, reporters around the state, including myself. Again, I will be focusing on judicial races outside of the Supreme Court, including a very interesting race for Wisconsin Appeals Court District 1, and also 11 different circuit court races that are contested races, and I'm just one of many that will be involved in our coverage tomorrow night. So again, make sure you tune in, make sure you download the Civic Media app, and get ready for incredible election night coverage on Civic Media and here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9. As I said, one of the really interesting races in terms of not just around here, but around the state of Wisconsin is the Wausau School Board race. Of course, with all the discussion on the consolidation plan that's been passed by the Wausau School Board, some folks behind it, some folks not behind it. Whether or not you're behind it or not behind it, very important to get out there and vote and know where the candidates stand on these issues. And one of the big issues, of course, is consolidation. But again, there are other issues as well. And one of the things I've been trying to do here in the last couple of months is to get candidates on this program and be able to talk to them about those issues so you can go into the ballot box, go into the booth and put your ballot in the box tomorrow with all the information you need. And had invitations out, unfortunately not able to schedule a couple of the candidates, but tomorrow, you'll see five names on the ballot. Incumbents, Lance Trollope and Corey Sillars. And newcomers, Jillian Bettino, Jennifer Paoli, and Fred Teeley. 5 candidates, 3 seats available in that race. And wanted to go back and let you hear what these candidates said. I was able to talk to think about these issues. And in the next hour, you'll hear the conversation I had with Jillian Bettino, but we're going to start off with the conversation I had with Fred Thiele. Again, a former teacher and currently not on the board, so a challenger for the Owosso School Board, and started off by asking Fred Thiele to just basically give an introduction about himself, his background, and his pitch to begin to become a Owosso School Board member.
Well, thank you. It's awfully nice to talk about myself. I kind of like that, especially on the radio. Yeah, my name is Fred Thiele, and I'm native of Eau Claire. Been here a long time. Been teaching high school for 30 years, now retired. I was also a mock trial coach and a debate coach, so a lot of experience in the educational system, and I come from a teacher family. My parents were teachers, my brother, my sister, my cousins, my uncle, uncles, and so it's kind of been in my blood ever since. Ever since I've been 7th grade, when I started reading the U.S. News and World Report, that's when I started to become interested in education, and I'm still very interested in education. But aside from that, I've had other positions. I was a psychiatric technician at University Hospitals in Madison for 3 years, and after the retirement, I worked for United Airlines as an agent. Best job in the world.
Really?
It was so much fun because you're not stuck to one room. You're going all over the place. You're working out by throwing the baggage around and you're bringing the plane and you're de-icing the plane at 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's way too early for me.
It's way too early. Oh, I know. And a cold, can you imagine? But I love the job. But now I had to give that up. My wife didn't like the idea that I was working every weekend. And she told me it's either United or her. And I don't know, it just came out of my mouth. I said, but I love my job.
Oh, geez.
So I had to leave. But now I am still employed. I'm a cardio instructor at the YMCA. I teach fitness, full body fitness. And I also teach butts and guts. Very important part of our body. It has to be exercised. And I also have a small business. It's a verbal and Airbnb business that I've been doing for 8 years. And that's been really interesting, too. But I decided to run. I never thought I would really run for office, but I'm just really concerned about what's going on with the Owosso School District, and I'd like to be a part of it, especially since I have the experience that I have.
And that was going to be my question, because it's one thing to have a concern about issues. It's another thing to actually throw your hat in the ring. And I give great credit to anybody. I don't care which side of the aisle you're on, what your beliefs are, that are willing to be involved, to go out there and say, hey, this is important enough for me to be able to throw my hat in the ring and take the slings and the arrows from time to time. What
right.
ultimately pushed you over that line? Because obviously, you have that background, you have that interest. What was it that said, I got to take this step? I need to run for office and hopefully be able to sit on this board in such a very important time.
Well, it seems like the board is kind of in one voice. They all seem to have the same viewpoint on various issues, and I don't think we should have a board like that. I think we have to have a diversity of opinions to get things done and to be fair. The other thing is I don't really feel nobody's listening to the people, the students, the parents. It seems like it's a closed shop, and we got to open that up.
So. In terms of, let's take the big issue to start off. And obviously, the school consolidation issue right now is at the forefront. Mm. Recently, they had the vote 7-2 to pass the school consolidation plan, and now the process is starting to begin. When you, beyond the plan itself, it sounds like from your last answer, you're talking about maybe communication and the way things were done in order to get to this point. Is that one of the issues that you...
Well, absolutely. One of the issues is transparency. Let people know what's going on. On that note, we used to have a newsletter that went out to every single home about issues in the Wausau School District. That's gone. I don't see articles in the paper about what's going on a weekly or daily basis. So there's a disconnect between the board and the people. And another evidence of that is this advisory referendum. There's no way they're going to have an advisory referendum. I've been to the meetings and it's been talked about. The only time it is a possibility is next April. And by that time, I think the consolidation is going to be well in place and it will be too late to do anything about it. But the advisory referendum was put up by 1,500 or 2,000 people who want to call a halt to this until we get more data and information, but primarily to get the opinions of the people involved, the parents, the kids, the community. They're not asking for that. Yes, they've had listening sessions, and I've gone to three or four of them. And what the listening sessions amount to is the public gets to speak about 3 minutes, and that's it. It's no question and answer. It's just what your opinion is. And then the rest of the—and a lot of people don't come to those, and they don't speak because not everybody's comfortable in talking in front of a group of people. But the rest of the listening session is really a PR— public relations of the school board and the consolidation. And this I've sat there for 2-3 hours listening to this, and it's a selling point. There's a slick video that they've produced or someone produced, and there's a PowerPoint presentation, and they bring up staff members of the district to speak on how wonderful this is going to be. But, okay, it's a selling point. It's not listening to what people want. One of the things, if I am elected to the board, I would want to instill two students to be on the board. It's honorary members and get their opinions on different things. This affects them more than anybody. And then it affects the parents.
Again, we're talking to Fred Teeley, a candidate for the Wausau School Board here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Fred, before we take a break, we got about 2.5 minutes or 3 minutes to go before our break, just so you know. Mm-hmm. You talk about these listening sessions and other aspects of how the school district and the school board have tried to bring in folks during this process. Mm-hmm. I think they would argue that the amount of openness has been at the level that people have known about this for the last year. What would you have liked to have seen differently? Because, I mean, it's one thing, and again, I'm trying to play a little devil's advocate here, to say that you don't like the results. Is this about the result or is it about the process?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
And how? But before we talk about the result, how would the process, if you would have been a member, it had an opportunity to change the process, what would you like to see?
It would be much more widespread. They had committee meetings, a couple of them, in the summer, and it was a selected group of people. I never even heard about it, and I pay pretty close attention to what's going on in the schools, and a lot of other people haven't heard, and at least two or three people have told me they finally invited them to go to these sessions, but it was the very last one, and that was it. So that's not widespread. If I had any say in it, I would say that these things should be done for about a year and should be throughout every elementary school and high school and truly get the opinion of the people. And I think this advisory referendum is a great idea. And it should be implemented before everything else. Because this, Chad, this is an overwhelming change. And it affects, everyone in the district. And we have 59,000 people who live in the Wausau School District. That's more than the city of Wausau. It's through the outlying area. 59,000 people. And 7 people are making this decision that affects these 59,000 people. And it isn't just the parents and the students, it's the community as well, because we are part of this community.
We'll continue to hear my conversation with Fred Teeley, candidate for the Wausau School Board, coming up next. It is a Monday. The time is 2:28. Glad you could join us here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXVO. And welcome back. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, get that Civic Media app. You can tune into this station and all the other Civic Media radio stations. Plus, go to our podcast page if you miss this hour or any hour of this program. Go to our website or to the app, and you can listen to previous episodes of this show and other shows that air on Civic Media. Again, we're talking to Fred Teeley, who is a candidate for the Wausau School Board, one of five candidates for the board, three of which will be elected on April the 4th. And Fred, we're talking again about the consolidation plan and about the transparency aspect of it. What about the plan itself? What are your thoughts on the plan that has been approved by a 7-2 vote?
Man, you've got some good questions today. Well, you can speak for hours on that. Of course,
we got a few minutes.
Well, there's so many different facets of this, but let me start with the kids, and I think this affects the kids so much, and I don't want to see that. I have two grandchildren who are in the system right now at Wausau East, and they have gone through John Marshall and Horace Mann and now East, and they have had a wonderful educational experience and extracurricular experience, and it's can't see enough. And that's actually one of the motivations why I decided to run, was I want to see the future kids have that same kind of experience and as a good reason to run. On the consolidation, again, it's too much too soon. It has to be gradual. I don't like the idea that kids have to be on the bus for an hour and a half a day. That's not good time. That's when bullying takes place. It's not, you want to minimize that. You don't want to maximize that. And that's what this consolidation seems to be doing. Also, I don't like the idea, my personal viewpoint anyway, is to have kids at one school for about 3 years, and then another school 2 years, and another school 3 years. I don't think that's good for kids. They want some stability. If there's one thing in this world that has been rather stable, it's a school system. And this consolidation just, it's instable, it's turmoil. The way it was presented, I think there could be other solutions than this one. And the fact that Wausau East is a beautiful school, was built for a high school, it's got everything, is going to be for a junior high. And it seems like we're going backwards. And I'd also like to say that, where are the consultants here? Have there been people that they've been hired to look at this thing and make a determination? Is this what's good educationally for these kids, or is it just good for financial reasons or better sports teams? And I fear that that's one of the motivations of these some of the board members to consolidate, to have one big high school, so we have a better basketball team and a better football team. It's wrong. A good example is my freshman granddaughter, who was on the volleyball team at East High School. There are three JV volleyball teams. A lot of interest. And they had to eliminate 12 girls because they just didn't have enough coaches or room or anything else. So there were three. And by being included in that volleyball team, it meant everything to Maya Bella. Confidence, socialization, team building, and it spilled over into her academic achievement. She's a straight-A student. And I think a lot of that comes from the confidence she gained from being on that volleyball team. Now, I asked Jim Boucher, the president, are you going to have 6 or 7 JV volleyball teams over at West with this big high school? No, we're not going to do that. We'll have 2, and then the rest of them will go into intramural. Well, I'm sorry. Intramural is not the same as being on a team. So there's going to be a lack of opportunities. And another example are the music programs. Went to the holiday concert in December, and there's another one coming up on Monday, too. We have a full orchestra at East, a full choir at East. We have 2 bands at East, and we had a full house at East. Okay, what's going to happen to all those kids? A lot of them won't be singing or won't be playing an instrument because there simply won't be enough room or enough bands and so forth. That's bad. Same thing with drama. East End Players is a very active drama program at East. That'll be eliminated, and only the stars will be in the plays. That's cutting kids out of opportunities. I think that's bad. For that reason, I really advocate keeping the high schools at least until we know more information about it. And what one of my solutions, and everybody says it won't work, but sometimes you have to make things work. And the solution is to change the boundary lines. Now, their proposal is to change the boundary lines for practically everybody. There's going to be a lot of boundary changes for the elementary schools and for the secondary and high school. Why not just change one boundary, which would be the secondary school's boundary? That would, there wouldn't be such much disparity at John Muir to Horace Mann. Horace Mann has room, John Muir doesn't. And so it would equalize that, and of course it would equalize the high schools as well. Now, maybe that solution won't work. I don't know.
Let me ask you about that, because I think that's a rather, it's a very, I've heard that as well. And again, we're talking to Fred Thiele, who's a candidate for the Owosso School Board. In the past, when people have talked about changing the boundaries for East and West, that's led to recalls. I mean, it was a very difficult time.
I think those were different times.
And I was going to ask you, because, I mean, obviously, as a candidate, you talk to folks. What, when you've mentioned that, what has been the response? I imagine as well, maybe the idea is a little bit, it will be taken differently when the other option is to eliminate
exactly
the high school at the same time. What has been the response you've had?
Well, they people say, oh, we've tried it before, it doesn't work, it won't work, and so forth. And well, try again. You know, let's talk about it at least. And some people have said that it would be the inner city area that would be over to East. And
I'll say that somebody told that me as well.
Right. And then some people have said, well, let's not do it east, let's do it north and south. And well, who knows? But they have to be discussed. It's not even being discussed. It's just like thrown away. Well, that river is the borderline, and that's it. That river is only about 100 yards wide. And let me say this too. In Eau Claire, there's 2 high schools. And at first, because I went to high school there,
right.
And the rivers were the ones that, the river was one that, oh, 2 rivers separated. And then as the town grew, of course, they had to change the boundary lines. No big deal.
Right.
So I think people are fearful of any change like that. But I'm not saying that we should absolutely do this. I'm just saying let's look at some other solution. That's a possible solution. Maybe we're going to end up with 1 high school. That could very well happen. But instead of just throwing this on us, let's talk about other possibilities.
What are your thoughts on the ideas concerning the elementary schools?
Well, that's another good question. Very good question. Let me tell you this. You know that there's 5 schools that will be closed. And I had heard at Franklin that that there was a meeting of parents to discuss to discuss this closing of Franklin School. And Franklin is right in the middle of the city here. And so somebody suggested I go to it. So I went to it, and I was, for the only purpose of introducing myself, that's all I wanted to do. I didn't want to participate because this is for the parents. But I got in there, in the room, and a woman came up to me. I've never saw her in my life. And she said, "Well, who are you?" And I said, "Well, who are you?" It was such a rude introduction. And she said, "Well, I'm the principal of the school." I said, "Great. I'm Fred Teeley, and I'm running for school board. I'd like to just introduce myself. I won't say anything more. Just say who I am." No. And she didn't grab me, but she escorted me out to the hall, down to the door. Didn't want me there. "This is not for you. It's for the parents." Of course, Hiltz was there, the superintendent. And she was ready to, you know, open the door for me to get out of there. And I said, "Wait a minute. You have to ask a couple of questions before you go." And I asked her, what is your view of closing Franklin?" It will be closed. It has to be closed." I said, "Why?" "Because it's a traffic problem. Somebody's going to get killed." Well, of course, that school has been there for a long time. And she said, "We don't have air conditioning, so we lose 1 to 2 weeks of instruction time every spring because of the heat. So it has to be closed." And I said, "No, wait a minute. This is a school, but it's also a neighborhood area, a play area and so forth. And kids that's a little bit poor area. And they come to this playground to play and volleyball. You see everything out there, even soccer I've seen. Where are those kids going to go?" Well, she said, "I told my parents that we're simply going to move the neighborhood concept from Franklin to move it to Hawthorne Hills." And I said, "Give me a break. Hawthorne Hills is a little bit more than a walk from that area." But anyway, everyone realizes that there are some schools that are low in enrollment, and one of them is Hewitt, Texas. But I talked to people last night about that they're hoping to turn that into an environmental school, and it still will be somewhat of an elementary school. That's the word. See, this is the thing. We don't know. We're not told any of this. And Lincoln, I understand, has some major building problems too, and may have to be consolidated with G.D. Jones, which is a newer high school, and it isn't that far away. I hate to see the neighborhood schools go. We talk about the importance of physical fitness and so forth. Well, let's allow the kids to walk to school and take their bike, not put them on a bus for an hour.
Again, we're talking to Fred Teeley, a candidate for the Wausau School Board here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. A lot of what you're talking about, again, comes back to the openness of the process. I mean, it sounds like your experience with the principal, where instead of allowing anybody who wants more information to hear it, they're being told, no, this isn't for you. Mm-hmm. I imagine that having all the information out there is one of the things that's kind of important in this whole process, isn't it? Mm.
Yes. I mean, the board is supposed to represent us. They shouldn't be making these decisions without consulting the people they represent. And that's another good reason to run.
Any specific ideas in terms of, because, I mean, there are the issues that are talked about in terms of the financial issues. And you talked about there are some schools that the enrollment is at a very low level and that perhaps some sort of consolidation can work. Do you have any proposals that you would like to put out there?
Well, before I say anything about that, I think it's important to, as far as financial issues, we are at a somewhat a financial crisis here because of the enrollments declining, but of course they're declining everywhere. But lack of transparency on that is this. If we go to one high school, we have to put an addition. There's one small addition, I guess, is going on right now, but that's been paid for by the last referendum. But what you don't hear very much, and I've been to the board meetings and they talk about it, is there will be another building referendum probably next April, because that will be before the East students come over. And they're talking about a four-story addition that would go on to West High School to accommodate the incoming students. They don't talk about that much.
Hold on right there, because we have to take another quick break, but we'll come back and we'll continue that thought in just a few moments. Again, we're talking to Fred Thiele, who is a candidate for the Wausau School Board. We'll have more coming up in 2 minutes here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. But we have one more segment with Fred Thiele, who is a candidate for the Wausau School Board. And again, Fred, we're talking again about potential ideas, and you were going in. I cut you off in the middle of a thought. I wanted to let you continue.
Yeah, and if I could remember I think it had to do with elementary schools, probably.
Yeah, and about just specific ideas that you may have, and any other ideas in terms of, say, you are elected, you know, you join this process after, of course, the vote has been taken. Maybe, what are your ideas? Should you be elected? Mm-hmm. Get us a role on the board to maybe change what's been going on, or have your voice be heard in this issue?
Well, definitely cooperation. And, you know, even though I may disagree with the board, we have to get along. We have to compromise. We have to do what's the best for the kids and the parents. That's number one. So everybody's going to have to give a little bit, or this system is not going to work. The turmoil is causing problems with teachers who are getting nervous about their jobs. Who's going to go where? Will I have a job? There will be layoffs with this consolidation. I believe the number was 20, if I remember correctly. So there, and right now, we have to be worried about having teacher retention, because there aren't a lot of teachers around. So these teachers could easily get a job in another community and leave. And I believe there's still one position they haven't been able to fill. So that's a big concern. The other thing is students. Students are going to be going to private schools, neighborhood schools. So we're going to lose students that way too, which means we're going to not lose the people, but we're also going to lose money from those changes, and that's bad. So that's going to make the situation even worse. And I kind of blame the board for pushing this so much and kind of poisoning the atmosphere, so everybody's in turmoil. I don't have any young children anymore, but I would be concerned. Okay, where are they going? Are they going to have to ride a bus an hour every morning and every night? And you know, this is kind of skipping around a little bit, but you talk about solutions. One of the reasons some want to go to one high school is that the differences in courses from one to the other. Mm-hmm. Robotics and engineering is taught at West. And the other day, I was at a pancake feed, Texas Pancake Feed Lions Club, and I was talking to a couple whose son is very bright, and he goes to East High School, but he takes the engineering and the robotics class at West. So what his mother does is to drop him off in the morning at West, and his dad picks him up after a second hour, whenever the time is up, and bring him back to East. I think that's great. It works. You know, but not everybody has that accessibility of having a private car going back and forth. So a solution to that is let's have a shuttle. Let's have a van that goes between the two schools. That's so much less expensive than $500,000 per year that will be spent on these additional buses and routes that are going to take place. And so that's, you know, what's wrong? It's so simple, isn't it?
As we have a few minutes left, and obviously that issue has been one that's been such a big one to discuss. Any other issues out there that are important to you that you will be looking to work on should you be elected?
Right. There's several others, but one is censorship. As you may or may not know, there were four books that were censored by this administration and board. They were, one of them is Hatchet, right? I don't have the list right with me, but they were removed. I think it was a fifth grade class in the curriculum. Now, the way they were able to, and they felt that they were unsuitable without any parental or teacher input. And these books are used throughout the country in reputable high school, reputable schools, except mainly in the South that's they're censored. But if the books were in the library and there was a complaint, there's a process that you go through that a committee is set up and people read the book. Parents, community members, teachers, da da da. And then they discuss and they decide whether or not we should keep this book. Now, that's the protocol for school libraries. But this was done because it was a part of curriculum and they don't have to go through that protocol. And I felt that they should still go through that protocol. And they didn't. So censorship, and I'm worried about what's next.
Right.
Okay, is Catcher in the Rye going to be taken off the shelf? Or Brave New World, all these wonderful books?
No,
so that's a big concern of mine, since I was a literature teacher.
Yeah, that's a big issue that's going on all over the place. And obviously, I think it's something that everybody's going to have to keep a very close eye on, because you're right. It is one that has been vitally...
And I would be very strong and militant about that, to not allow censorship in this school district.
We got about 2 minutes left, and I guess I want to kind of finish it off by giving you an opportunity, because we obviously haven't talked about everything that I think is important. Give you a couple of minutes here to kind of give folks, again, a sense of who you are, the things that you want to kind of focus on here before they... go to the polls on April 4th.
Well, I do think this is one of the most important years that this school district is going through, with this monumental change. And the people need to get involved. The board has to start listening to the people. And this is not a 1 or 2 year project. This is a longer project than that. The other thing, I know finances are a big item as well. And I believe the board should be doing much more contact with the state legislators around here, because they're continually voting to cut funds for the schools, and that's what's partially causing a lot of these problems. So, a lot of issues out there, and we have to be involved.
Wausau School Board candidate Fred Teeley. Again, we are listening to my conversations with the three Wausau School Board candidates that came into our studio to talk about it before you head to the polls tomorrow. Coming up in the next hour, we'll hear my conversation with Jillian Bettino, another candidate. And then in the first hour tomorrow, we'll hear our conversation with Board Vice President Lance Trollope. So a final opportunity for you to hear some extended comments from these candidates. Again, tomorrow, your final opportunity. I know many of you have probably already voted. I will be voting tomorrow. I'd like to go on Election Day, and I know many others as well. So final opportunity to hear some of the comments that we had with our school board candidates. Coming up at 3:06, we'll be joined by Ray Miller from weatherology.com to talk about the forecast. It could be a wet Election Day. We'll look at that. And then Jillian Bettino as well, coming up in the next hour here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.